Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And welcome back to The Songwriter Show right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics forever. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight, I'm excited to have Pam Ross. She was born in Pittsburgh, but spent most of her life in Houston, Texas. She currently lives in North Carolina. Her music is often classified as Americana, but really defies any particular genre. Fans and friends have begun calling it Pam music since it's a style unique to her. It's a mashup of country, rock, blues, and pop. You never know what you're going to get from one song to the next. Her first video, Fire in the Hole, has already won 3 awards and is up for Best Music Video in the Carolina Film Festival.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Pam. How you doing?
Doing just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So I'm looking at Pittsburgh, Texas, North Carolina. So I won't hold any of that against you. I'm from Chicago, but I love all those areas. So tell us a little bit about, do you feel like you're settled in now in North Carolina? Or are you going to be moving in a year or two?
Right now, you know, we're settled in here. It's, you know, I do miss Houston. Because I miss living on the water, really, but it's a nice place. So yeah, we're kind of settled in for right now.
Okay, so the one thing I remember about Houston, Texas, is Pappas Brothers Steakhouse, which I absolutely love.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been there, but their pecan pie is the best. Yep. I've ever had.
Yes, been to Pappas. Been to. They've got a bunch of different ones. They've got a steakhouse, a Mexican, a seafood. Yeah. They're all good.
All right. So tell us about you. What's your instrument? Is it vocals? Is there something else you play?
It's vocals, rhythm guitar, and keyboards.
Okay.
Those are the things that I do.
What's your favorite?
Let's write the song.
What's your favorite, if you had to pick one?
The guitar.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm really most proficient on. I started playing keyboards just about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years, somewhere in there. And it was something I always wanted to do, and finally went and did it. And so I do play keyboards on my records, but I wouldn't really call myself like a piano player. I've got a knack for coming up with hooks and melodies, but you know, I'm not like someone who just gets down and jams on the keyboards like I can do on guitar.
Yeah. And how do you start the process of writing a song? Is it something you do every day? Tell us a little bit about that.
No, I don't do it every day. I try to do it often because I think the more you write, the better you get. And also the more songs you have, the more you have to choose from to put on a record, you know, the more good ones you're going to get. You write one song every 2 months, you know, your chances of having a really good one get reduced. And for me, it usually starts with just me messing around on my guitar, coming up with melodies. And that sort of takes me somewhere, and I try and write the music and lyrics together. It doesn't always happen that way, but usually.
Yeah. Is your family musical by any chance?
Nope, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so you're the only one, huh? Okay. Hey, I'm kind of the same way. Some distant relatives, but hey, we do what we do, right?
Yeah.
Any teachers that you've taken through the years that you want to give a shout out to?
No, not really. I pretty much just developed on my own. You know, I've always listened to music. I've always just really been attracted to it. So I've been listening to it literally my whole life, a lot. So when I finally started writing songs, I just kind of knew how to write them by following what I liked on the radio. I knew you did a couple choruses, you did a verse, and then you had this other piece, which I learned later was a bridge.
Sure.
And just sort of put it together. I have worked with some professional songwriters in Nashville through a thing called Song U, and they really did help me develop my songwriting a little bit better. making the imagery more clear in my lyrics, and fine-tuning things. So they were definitely a help. But the basic structure of it, I just always kind of, like I said, knew how to do it from listening to the songs that I liked and just writing like that.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your fondest musical memory to date.
My fondest musical memory to date. Gee, that might be getting signed on with MTS, which was just a really big breakthrough for me. They've really helped my career so much. And that was just like a really huge achievement for me.
Tell us a little bit about any collaborations that you have loved that have been really cool for you.
I haven't had any.
Oh, okay.
I've tried all my songs easy. Alone. I mean, I co-produce with FJ Ventre, who owns the recording studio, Good Luck Studio in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That's really the closest collaborating I've come with, is co-producing with him and working with the other musicians and, you know, going back and forth with them saying, you know, this is what I want to hear and whatever. But writing the songs, I really just sit down and always done that alone.
We each have a different process, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm open to it. I just haven't met anyone I've ever sat down with and wrote with.
Are there any famous musicians you'd love to collaborate with?
Oh, yeah, like Tony Arata. A lot of people don't really know him, but he's written countless number one country hit songs, most notably The Dance by Garth Brooks, Here I Am by Patti Loveless. He would be an incredible person to write with. I'm a big Foo Fighters fan, so I would love to write with Dave Grohl. And I know Elton John's retired, but if he ever wants to write a song with someone and Bernie's not around, I'm willing to step
You're
in.
You're there.
Yes.
Well, that's very nice of you to offer that. What kind of advice would you give a beginner in this industry who's really nervous?
I think there's several things. Number one, don't get caught up in trends. Just be yourself, because trends come and go, and you can't shine in someone else's shadow. I think the most important thing you can be is true to yourself and just let that shine through. And, you know, be patient, because it takes a while. It takes a lot of hard work. But, you know, if you really love what you do and you work hard at it, you don't kind of give in to the trappings here and there, you know, you can be pretty successful.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. What's the typical day of the week like for you?
Wake up, work out, say a few prayers for a good day, and start work on music.
Okay.
And that could be anything. That could be, you know, trying to write a new song. Right now, I'm trying to get the keyboard parts down for my next record. So I've been working a lot on that. It could just be rehearsing for a show that I'm going to be doing. But that'll usually take me to dinner. And then sometimes after dinner, I go right back to work. And I'm, you know, work until 10:30 at night if I'm not at a show.
When you look at COVID, right, COVID kind of affected us all differently. But tell us about, if you could do it all over again, was there something different you would do?
No, actually, I was pretty good with it. I did eventually get it, but I got it at the tail end when it was going away. I caught it around April 2022 was when I eventually got it. But it sucked. I mean, no one liked it. I hated being locked inside, couldn't go anywhere, couldn't do anything. I just kind of wrote it out like everyone else. I think, considering the situation, I don't think there's anything else I could have done differently.
Okay. Tell us about this song we're going to hear.
No One Around. That was actually an older song that I wrote. And when I was putting together this record, I dusted it off and said, you know, this is a really good song. I don't want this just getting lost. So I decided I wanted to record it. And I wrote it one evening back home in Seabrook, which is a suburb of Houston down on the bay, after walking through the bayous one night with my girlfriend. And it's about someone reflecting back on a forbidden love affair they had as a teenager. And You know, I kind of recorded it at my little home studio, and then when I put the keyboards to it, it really stood out that this is going to be an awesome song. And I recorded it, and then I sent it up to Canada to my lead guitarist, Ivan Pettit, and said, you know, told him a little bit what I was looking for. And what he sent back, I was just like, yes, you nailed it. That was perfect. And I really loved the way this song came together, and it's actually my favorite on the record.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, Pam, let's take a listen and we'll come back and talk, okay?
All right.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go. All right, thank you, Pam, for sharing that with us. If you could talk straight to a listener that is following you, is there a message you would want them to take from your music?
I just want people to relate to it. I hope they relate to it. I write about a lot of different topics. I try not to be one-dimensional, and I try to reach all people, you know, and I guess my favorite thing to me is when people walk up after a show and tell me how much a song hit home to them, you know, how much it touched them. And, you know, hopefully that's what it does for people.
Yeah. So, Pam, one of the things I like to ask a lot of guests is about scams. Is there a scam you want to warn other songwriters about, or one that you might have fallen for or a friend fell for?
If it sounds too good to be true. It probably is. I had someone reach out to me saying they heard my music and they wanted to sign me to their record label. And they were in Atlanta. I can't even remember the name of them. And all I had to do was fly myself down there and give them $500 to get everything set up and we'll sign the contract. And I'm like, what? You know, and sadly, I think there might be some people who would fall for that. A record company is never going to ask you for money, ever, ever, ever. So if you've got someone who says they're a record label, not a management promotion company, a label, you know, like Mercury, Sony, Warner Brothers, and they say, just give us money and we'll get you set up, it's a scam.
Yeah, you're completely right. Here's this, you trust these people to promote you and throw money at you to market you and get you to the next level, but they want you to pay yourself to fly out there. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean that's when you know that. I mean, and I had met with record labels before, so I, you know, just messaged them back and saying, you know, I've met with Mercury Records and they didn't ask me for a dime, so I don't think you're in the up and up, and sorry, I'm going to have to decline. And you know, I like I said, Sally, there might be some people, and you know, in a management company, you know, that's something totally different. You know, you will pay them, but you know, you research them. Research anybody you're going to do business with and see what their background is, you know, see what their history is, what kind of awards they've won. MTS, they have just a really incredible reputation. They've won a lot of awards. They've got a lot of really great clientele. You can look and see all the streaming and publicity they get. And that's how I knew that they were a very legitimate company. Just search stuff. Check them out. Check anybody out.
Yeah. And the truth is, right, if we had bigger followings and made a lot more money, then managers would just take a percentage. But when you don't have any of that, yeah, if you want one, it's going to cost you something for them to work on your behalf. It's as simple as that.
It is. Especially with streaming paying, you know, less than a cent per stream. You know, that's just the world we live in now.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the new things that you're working on for the fans.
Well, the next single comes out August 18th. That's going to be called You Don't Know My Name. And that definitely leans more on the rock side as opposed to my current single, which falls more in Americana country. And so I'm looking forward to that release. And we'll be releasing songs from this record, one every 2 months. So we'll be going till about April 2024. And then probably take a month of a break and then start releasing new stuff. I just spoke with FJ at Good Luck Studio today and set up some time in October to start going in and start recording new songs, and reached out to Ivan Pettit up in Canada about, you know, being my lead guitarist again and just getting things set up for the next record, believe it or not.
What's your favorite 80s jam, if you will admit to it on the show?
My favorite 80s jam? Oh, that's a tough one. But might be something like Hot for Teacher by Van Halen. I'm a huge Eddie fan. Like, Eddie's my guitar hero.
Yeah.
So anything, you know, they were doing back then. U2 released a lot of great music back then. So did Springsteen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all those people you mentioned are icons. I mean, can't go wrong with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your experience in the music industry. Do you feel like women get a fair shake compared to men, or do you think it's still kind of lopsided?
I think for the most part, it's gotten a lot better. I think back when I was younger, you know, seeing a girl with a guitar, they're like, oh, can she really play? You know, that kind of
yeah.
thing. But it really is getting a lot better. It truly is. I think women are definitely getting a lot more respect in the business and being taken a lot more seriously.
I think you're completely right. I remember people yelling at people, and now it's not uncommon to see a female guitarist, drummer, anything they want to do. I think it's gotten better, but I feel like we still have a long way to go. But it's definitely heading in the right direction.
Yeah, you kind of have to be a little bit better than other people sometimes to you know, catch their attention.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you are, you can make yourself stand out. You get that respect.
Yeah, I think people nowadays, especially the people that are really in it, everyone thinks everyone's kind of the same. It doesn't matter what your sexuality, it doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters, the color of your skin. I think if you're good, people can tell when they listen to your vocals, if you touch them, if you're authentic, if you play the guitar. Right. It's more about the music and the lyrics and the songwriting.
Yes, yes, I'll agree. Yeah, if you're good enough, people look past that stuff now. A lot more, and they just want to hear good music.
Yeah, and that's hard to find sometimes. Like, you look at the charts and you're like, wow, this song was released 2 years ago. And, you know, streaming, people love it or hate it. It gives you a lot more exposure. A lot of the old rock bands really are the most played rock things. So it's given them, you know, it's exposed them to younger audiences. So it's good and bad. And we can debate that all day long. But
yeah,
I'm just thankful when people listen to my stuff, even though it doesn't pay much.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, yeah, you're right. There's good and bad to it. There's an exposure you can get that you never could have gotten before. But, you know, the drawback is, you know, I always say, if I just made $1 per stream, just $1.
Yeah.
Holy hell, would I be having a great year.
Yeah.
It would be, woo!
Can you imagine? Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I would be sitting pretty. But, you know, getting, you know, less than, I think it's like 0.04 or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's the downside of it. That's the hard, you can get taken advantage of, and there's really not a lot you can do. So you just take the good with the bad and roll with it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Pam. So tell us where people can buy your stuff, stream it. Where can they hook up with you online?
My website is pamrossmusic.com. And, you know, there you can buy T-shirts. You can see my videos. You can buy my music. See where I'm playing at, because all my shows are on there. See reviews and all kinds of stuff. And also, you can stream or buy my music anywhere. Apple, Amazon, Spotify, you name it. Pam Ross. And Pam Ross Music on Facebook, Pam Ross Music on Instagram. I kept it very simple. I'm not hard to find.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. It was an absolute blast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Pam. And to all the listeners out there, thank you for sharing a little bit of your time with the two of us. We both sincerely thank you, and we both hope your unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other awesome artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night, everybody. I love you guys.
I ran away to the city that one day. There I found so much trouble, nearly drowned. The bold taste was a thrill, but a waste. Only ended up in a corner, badly dented. No real freedom in the rain. It's the smell of wonder and way we fell. Needed you, the green grass and thunder, the miracle of life. Sad, tired eyes, so I said goodbye.
To the Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.